It's Jonathan Blank with Guy Gab, the podcast for those who believe men can be better if they acknowledge and share their emotions. It's almost Valentine's Day, so it's time for our first episode on dating, relationships, and love. For a long time, as a man, love seemed like a win or lose sport. I either won over someone's heart or I lost. But I don't want love to be a sport to me. So we're turning to someone who has studied all types of contemplative traditions, such as Buddhism, to understand how to approach relationships in a much deeper and meaningful manner. Anahita Mogadam is the founder of Neural Beings. She's here to help us all learn how to cultivate a healthy, confident, and strong foundation for dating. She's also here to put up with some pretty bad jokes by me. Anahita, I'm sure our Guy Gabbers have been waiting on pins and needles for this discussion. Here at Guy Gab, we've previously covered role models, leadership, and spiritual journeys in this season, but I'm pretty sure all of our men and women Guy Gabbers have been waiting for an episode on dating. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And I just want to note for all the Guy Gabbers listening that for this episode, this special episode on dating, we went across the world to find an expert, to find Anahita. She's in Germany. I'm in New York. Thanks so much for taking time late in your day.
Of course. This is such an interesting topic, and I think it's so meaningful. I love to do this.
Great. Now, Anahita, as I mentioned to you before we got on our microphones today, the way that we work at Guy Gab is I tell a story that embarrasses me often, and then you explain to all the Guy Gabbers out there how they can do things a little bit differently or learn from it, both the good and the bad. I'm going to tell what is clearly the most embarrassing story I've told on Guy Gab. Anahita, there's no one else that I would partner with to tell that story. So
thank you.
I'm going to tell it, and we're going to explore how men can do better in dating in 2020. Sound good?
Sounds good. Perfect.
So when I first moved to New York City after college, many, many years ago, I had no confidence when it came to asking women out. And again, I think that this episode is for everyone, regardless of what gender you're dating or your preferences. But clearly, I'm telling a story of me engaging with women. I was really intimidated by the bravado I saw from the men at bars in New York City. So Anahita, I approached the problem the same way I approach most problems. I Googled around for resources.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well done.
Anahita, do you want to take a guess at what I Googled when I realized I didn't have a whole lot of confidence and wanted to attract women into my life?
I am guessing that you Googled something in the lines of how can I find myself a woman? How can I date a woman? How to approach a woman, perhaps?
Why didn't we know each other 15 years ago? Those would have been more healthy terms to Google. I wrote, how to pick up a woman. I know.
Oh, dear.
I want to say, oh dear, and slap around my younger self every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which we should talk about. The slapping around part is not very constructive.
We're going to have you back. And as it was coming out okay. of my mouth, I thought I should come up with a better metaphor, a healthier metaphor. So we're on the same page.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm admitting on Guy Gab that I was one of those guys who looked to a, quote, pickup artist coach for tips and tricks. I hope, is this a judgment-free zone?
I'm not judging if I'm making sounds in the background. I have a mixture of amusement and compassion, if I were to be honest with you. It's kind of cute.
Thank you.
So
thank you. And I guess we'll have to see if I ever get a date again after this episode airs. We'll just have to see. And look, if even if I don't, at least I'll know in the back of my mind that Anahita found this amusing and cute. Okay. So I found this coach and he took me to Central Park and he had me practice going up to women. The direction was very specific, Anahita. It was one, walk up to a woman at a 45 degree angle. Two, ask them, do you know where the Central Park Zoo is? Three, I know, I was there. So three, no matter what they say, respond with, I actually am not looking for the zoo. I just thought you had a nice smile. I know. Yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I did what I was told. I went up to this woman, and before we could say anything to each other, we both noticed that we were wearing Cornell apparel. And we started talking and having an honest and very authentic connection together about Cornell, and we exchanged numbers. Mm-hmm. But suddenly my coach runs up to me and he says, did you ask about the zoo? And she looked at me mm-hmm. like you can only imagine, as I'm sure your eyes are bulging right now, Anahita. Yep. I approve of that. I approve of that look. So she leaves to the coach. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, this is practice. So to him, this was not about me finding someone and finding a partner, a healthy, loving relationship. It was about me practicing the science of mm-hmm. picking up or attracting a woman. So I eventually mm-hmm. went on a date with this right. wonderful, nice woman who I'd met in Central Park, and this woman who we had a common history of going to Cornell together. And the first date went really well. And then after that first date, I went back to my coach to ask for advice for a second date. And he said, imply that you could be intimate together. And he gave me some words to do that. So we went on the second date and we were having a great time. And then she went to the bathroom. And when she went to the bathroom, I started feeling really anxious. And I think it was because in the back of my head, I was like, oh, my coach, who knows how confident men act, told me advice and I haven't used it. And so when she came back, mm-hmm. I used the words that he said, which were, if we weren't in public, and then just trail off. Now, there's a problem with the words regardless, but also I was so nervous. I said it in like a mm-hmm. high-pitched voice. I was like, if we weren't in public. And so she responded like, yeah, what? Like mm-hmm. we play board games or something?
Yeah. Good response from her.
Again, in complete agreement. So we eventually got the check. Mm-hmm. We left. We parted ways. And 15 years later, I'm still waiting to hear back from a text that I sent. Yeah. Do you think I'm going to get a response?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really don't. Unless you meet her again and, you know, you behave in the way that you behave now, which I'm guessing is different. It's possible.
It is possible. And I hope. And I want to, we're going to now get into the Q&A. But to your point, Anahita, I want to mm-hmm. in a serious and seriously, and I want to go on the record to say, look, I'm looking to be in a long-term relationship and a healthy one. And I was then, but I had such low confidence. I didn't know what else to do. Right. Well, so I hope yeah. I've matured since then. But again, mm-hmm. if no one else ever goes out with me again, I'll just blame this podcast episode with you, Anahita. Kidding. It'll be the okay. opposite. I will know that this was the moment that there was a pivot for me.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is really, really noteworthy and courageous. And I'm sure that if there are authentic women who appreciate vulnerability in men and authenticity and transparency, they're going to have a deep appreciation. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're bombarded with emails of women that are asking Aww. You out after this.
Oh, thank you.
Just saying.
I really want all the guy gabbers out there, men and the women who also who believe that that men can be better, to learn from this experience that was, again, in very seriously, in retrospect, is, you know, embarrassing for me. Is I recognize I kind of panicked because I didn't know how to act with confidence. Mm-hmm. So why don't we start with, let's go to one of those parked cars. I'm going to move down some of the questions that that we had prepared, because I really want to get to some of your focus areas. Let's talk about what it means to express your and understand your fundamental nature. Can you tell our guy gabbers your perspective on what it means before you start dating to understand who you really are and what you want?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I mentioned fundamental nature, I'm borrowing from the contemplative traditions, right? So I myself am a practitioner and a student of the Eastern contemplative tradition, specifically Buddhism. And when we talk about true nature, we're talking about, and this is common in all, or I would say the majority of the wisdom traditions of the world, perhaps, that as a result of a sort of a process of inquiry, a gradual process of, you know, withdrawing inwards and seeking that sort of, let's say, inner territory to better understand oneself, one may come closer to what is most natural to one's being. Right. So this perhaps is described as a state that is beyond, let's say, concepts. It's beyond your identification with a persona. It's beyond your, let's say, history and your narrative. It's beyond an identification even with a gender, right? With a body, with a cultural identity, and all those layers that we have accumulated over the course of our lives. So we gradually embark on this inner journey towards this place, this state, perhaps better described as a state, as a sense of awareness of a self that is not even so much a self anymore. And let's call it a universal self. Let's call it a, you know, transcendent self. And this is something that one can achieve through simple contemplative or meditative or introspective practice. It doesn't require you to be within some kind of religious or spiritual framework. For the secular ones out there listening, this is a simple process of calming the nervous system, of gradually allowing the, let's say, the compulsive thinking patterns, the habits of thinking, of narrative building, of world building and self-building to settle. And once this settles by way of, let's say, focusing on the breath or focusing internally or asking a question and reflecting on it quietly in stillness, we may have little glimpses of this deep, what we were talking about, this nature. And I think that with repetition, with practice, when we touch this nature, when we begin to go there on a frequent basis, we start to realize, wait a minute, I'm more than just my identification with a gender. I'm more than just my history. I'm more than my, all of those constructs. And so maybe we start to pivot a little bit. Maybe we start to shift more towards identifying with this beautiful essential nature. And they say that as a result of this, we begin to become a little bit more flexible. We become a little bit more light in our behavior. Our relationships become more fluid. We are not so rigid anymore. Like your case is a you know, typical case of rigidity, right? So not knowing yourself and, you know, going and approaching a woman on the basis of instructions from someone who was also quite rigid in his perception and his worldview is a typical case of someone who's definitely disconnected from that nature within. So anyway, that's to make it, to go a little bit deeper, that's one thing I would say. But on a more, let's say non-contemplative level, I would say that it's so important for anyone, any gender, a person from any gender to inquire within, to better understand one's psyche, to better understand one's emotion, to understand that all of us have gone through a developmental phase in our lives where we have had certain experiences that have perhaps impacted our perception of ourselves, our perception of the world, of others. You know, so our worldview, our core beliefs have been formed in our early childhood. And those core beliefs, that worldview, that lens is a lens, or those are beliefs that are to date informing every moment of our conscious lives, or unconscious lives, better said, right? So all of our subjective experiences are informed by this, like, this core imprinting that happened in childhood. So any adult that is seeking to be happy, and I'm guessing this means everyone, should, in my humble opinion, and not so humble in this case, I think I'm making it really, you know, being passionate here, because I know that otherwise we suffer and we create dysfunction as we go along. I think anyone who seeks to be happy and have a stable and loving relationship, as you worded it earlier, should do the work of inquiring, of trying to understand one's own mind, one's own emotions, one's own habits, one's own behavioral preferences. Where do they come from? What are the root causes of my behavior? And not to just let it linger and continuously sabotage our happiness and our potential relationships.
This is really helpful. And I know it's really deep for a lot of us, and that we're going to have to study your teachings a little bit to get to really understand it at a nuanced level. I want to summarize it for everyone in a fairly concise way. Anahita, tell me if this is not summarizing you accurately. There was two things that really stood out to me from these comments. The first thing is that if I were to go back in time and act and make a decision about what I was going to do when I recognized that I had low confidence when it came to dating in particular, that what I should have done is, instead of asking Google, I should have asked myself what I love about myself, what values are important to me, and how those should align with another person. Is that somewhat, I know that's not,
beautiful.
Is that at a very basic level, what
basic level, that's a great entry point. Yes, to just ask yourself questions, which is an attempt to get in touch with yourself, right? To better understand your motivation. What do I even want? What am I afraid of? Am I afraid of rejection? Am I afraid of, you know, her turning me down? So just making that effort to get to know oneself a little better before just habitually, compulsively going outside of oneself for help.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. And I think the second thing that really stood out to me about what you just said was in relation to beliefs. And again, I'll be fairly open here. I hear you that beliefs are, they come from a very early age, and I've definitely done a lot of exploring of them. And I recognize that I had a lens at the time, 15 years ago, when this incident occurred, that I wasn't good enough. And I know that's a fairly trite or somewhat common belief.
Yes.
But I think the takeaway for all of the listeners, the Guy Gabbers, is to try to understand the beliefs that are in some ways clouding or fragmenting your view of reality. If I had known then 15 years ago that I was approaching dating from the perspective of I wasn't good enough and I needed this kind of artificial help, I could have potentially said, that's a belief that is not reality, and I'm going to take a different action. So is it, Anahita, would you agree that our listeners should kind of take a step back when it comes to dating and say, are there any beliefs that are deep inside of me that have been, that I've had with me for a long time that are causing some blips in my approach to finding a healthy long-term relationship?
Absolutely. And the beautiful part of that is that you begin a journey of intimacy with yourself. And all of us who seek to be in an intimate and authentic and loving relationship, I would recommend, would benefit from first establishing that intimacy with oneself, which might initially be an uncomfortable process, right? So many of us may prefer to actually live in denial of all of the unpleasant or uncomfortable or perhaps even shameful feelings and emotions that we have, that we, you know, hold inside, but try to avoid or try to compensate for with all kinds of behaviors. But I think that that intimacy that one can establish with oneself, with one's inner world, is a beautiful basis to then establish intimacy with another person and to have deeper connection, you know. Otherwise, you know, the conventional relationship if I may say, in a very critical way, you know, just getting to know someone because they're good looking or they make us feel good, which is really just a very shallow experience of, you know, hormone and chemical cocktail that eventually subsides once we're married and we're sitting in a house together. And then we start to nag and get bored and pick on each other. And eventually we hate each other's guts and then we cheat on each other. And then, you know, we're, you know, so you can prevent a lot of misery for a lot of people for a long period of time if you begin to actually, you know, sober up in the beginning, to establish that intimacy with yourself and to really look at the other person in a more realistic way.
I think we can start something right here today on Guy Gab. There's a fairly cliche saying that I'm sure, Anahita, that you've heard and you may agree with, which is, before you can love someone else, you have to love yourself. I think that what we're talking about right now is that before you can love yourself, you need to date yourself. So I think before you date someone else, you need to date yourself and explore your likes, your things you don't like, and get to know yourself. It's really a process. It's not just a switch of loving and not loving.
Beautiful. And you nailed it. Yes. And I want to just say that this is not easy, right? This is not easy, especially for those of us who may suffer from some deep belief that, you know, we are not worthy and we need another person to complete us, which is a, you know, very common belief in many people, this kind of undying desire for the one, right? The one that comes along and that finally saves us from our misery and sweeps us off our feet, and all of our sorrows and loneliness and sadness will just, you know, evaporate. I think that that is so deeply entrenched in us, in a lot of us, if not most of us, that to undo that habituated sort of belief is going to require a lot of work.
Well, we're doing the work here. Anahita, I'd love to turn to now kind of the next phase and stage of getting to know someone else, now that we've discussed exploring yourself. So we're now starting to date. Did you hear that, Guy Gabbers? Anahita and I are now dating.
Did you just pick me up?
No, I am. Oh, you're right.
You're better than you were 15 years ago, I have to say. Congratulations. You didn't even try.
I don't think the issue, the flag here, is that I was trying to pick you up. I think the issue is that I have many jokes that do not land, and this was one of them.
Oh, this was great, Jonathan. I think you just went up on my scale of sympathy.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
So seriously, when two people are starting to, again, I'm reluctant to use the word date because of what you mentioned at the outset of the call.
No, but I think we all understand what you mean. Mm-hmm.
When two people are starting to date, what should a man do to communicate their feelings as they bubble up in the budding relationship? You know, whether that's I'm liking you more, or if it's, you know, we've gone on a couple of dates and I'm going to be honest that I'm not feeling the connection, regardless of what the emotions are, do you have advice for how men, Guy Gabbers, can express their emotions in a healthy way?
Oh my, yes, this is a big one. You know, obviously it depends on the man. Some men have a easier time being expressive and, you know, being in touch with their feelings and expressing them. And then others are perhaps more hesitant to do that, you know, for various reasons, whether they don't want to, you know, be rejected. They don't want to hurt the person because of, you know, too much empathy. There's so many reasons. I would say that if you have the capacity to do that, try to be as kind as possible. You know, I think that I've witnessed some wonderful, well-intended men, friends of mine, who are so, let's say, trained in expressing themselves and communication that they can be a little bit too direct and eventually, you know, end up really hurting the other person. So I think there is a very subtle way that you can be direct while still protecting the heart and the emotions and the fragility of the other person. So I would say be kind, first of all. Second of all, of course, you know, being communicative or expressive of one's feeling requires vulnerability. And I don't know how many men out there are okay to be vulnerable, honestly. I think that a very big number of men are not okay to be vulnerable, and that will dance around their feelings or maybe never even get to touch them, to let alone to express them. Or by touch, I mean to feel them, let alone to express them. So I think, you know, really the work that's cut out for men is to really see why are they blocked from being okay to be vulnerable. And as a result, from feeling their feelings and then expressing their feelings, what is hindering? What is the obstacle in the way? You know,
you'll be very proud of all the listeners. Then we're here at Guy Gab because we recognize what you just said, that we men are not as good as women at understanding our emotions and then expressing them in a healthy way, whether that's in dating or at work, or with friends, or just to say, I need help. So
you're aware.
A hat tip to everyone who's listening mm-hmm. and is taking that step forward to explore and try to understand their emotions.
Which I really, you know, I commend, and I have personal experience with it, of men who are beautiful, beautiful, you know, kind, generous, loving, nurturing, fun, authentic, interesting. But when it comes to actually—
You just described me, right?
Of course.
That was just, you were just, oh, okay, that was, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, you know, you've already picked me up. You don't need to, you know, go ahead.
I don't pick up people. That was the me of 15 years ago that we're going to have a talk with. We're not going to slap around, but we're going to talk to him.
We're going to stop teasing him. I'm sorry, Jonathan.
You can always tease me.
All right.
You can tease me as long as I continue to make bad jokes.
Continue. And we'll just have this dynamic going on. It's great. I love it. What was I saying? Now I forgot. No, I was
I'm sorry.
These wonderful men. So, you know, I know of them, and as some of them that are really at the forefront of my thoughts at the moment. And when it comes to feelings and feeling their feelings, let alone expressing their feelings, there is this, you know, there is this, like, it's almost like this rubber wall that as soon as they approach it, they just bounce back. I would just describe it as a deep resistance to it. And, you know, I think that it's not like rocket science to understand that it comes probably primarily from being shamed in early life for having had feelings, for having cried as a boy, have, you know, tripped and fallen and, you know, bruised your knee and you're like sitting there crying and someone comes along and says, you know, and me being from I'm Middle Eastern, I'm Iranian. So in our culture in particular, you know, they come to the boy and be like, you're a man, what are you crying? Stop it. You know, shame on you. You should be, you know, stand up and just shake yourself clean and get up. Keep going with your life, you know, let alone if you got your heart broken by a girl, then you're called a, you know, a wuss and you're called soft. And so it's, you know, that shaming culturally, socially, let alone all the stereotypes of what a man should be. Then you grow up as a boy, you see that, okay, you look at your dad, you look at the men in your life, you see that all, you know, their purpose is about, you know, providing and protecting and making as much money and being as successful as possible and having a family and being the breadwinner. And so it's like, how do you even expect a man to get in touch with his feelings, right? If our world, if our education system, our culture does not, the fabric of our society does not educate men about their feelings. It doesn't educate anyone about their feelings, quite frankly, let alone men. Men on top of it are shamed and slapped around for having feelings. And our idea, or, you know, yeah, idea of masculinity as well as femininity, but we're talking about masculinity here, is so misguided. And it's tragic for me, again, coming back to seeing these wonderful men with so much capacity, not being able to go to that innermost place where that rich essence is, where they then can have access to so much wealth. And then with that wealth, they can connect and they can express and they can experience things that they're actually craving for at a deep level. And then as a result, have the kind of relationships that they long for, but are unable to because of this handicap. I think it's, to me, it's the most, one of the most tragic things in the world. And I really, I could just cry thinking about it. It's so sad. And I have so much compassion for men. And in our current time of bashing men with Me Too and all of that, actually, I have so much compassion for men, because all that misbehavior, that misknowing that leads to all kinds of atrocities and damaging behavior is caused ultimately. It's caused. It's not that men are fundamentally, those men are not fundamentally bad. They're not educated. They're not in touch, right? So we have to collectively take responsibility for that.
I love what you're saying. So when we launched Guy Gab, there certainly were some people who said, are you trying to say that men suck?
Hmm.
And my response was, and is, and we have a saying here, men don't suck. Masculinity sucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, and our current understanding of it sucks.
Exactly. Our current traditional stories that we tell that are related to masculinity and our definitions of masculinity is what we need to improve on. Mm-hmm. And men are great and women are great. And I also want to cry thinking about how men are told not to cry.
Yeah.
How men are told not to express very vulnerable emotions. And I want to cry at the consequences of that.
Absolutely. The consequences.
That repression explodes in anger or aggression. And so, we're all going to improve masculinity. So that's a great way to get to our final question.
Mm-hmm.
And this final question is a new segment related to what we just discussed that I'm calling From Good to Great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to be careful not to, to bash any gender or any, or my gender's behavior to not just bash men and men's behavior. At Guy Gab, we're just saying that masculinity can be better and that its impact on men can be better. With that in mind, what's a positive aspirational definition of masculinity that you think men could reach for?
Positive aspiration, or
even if it's some of the traits that you mentioned before that are exemplary of the men that you think really are able to do great and be great because of how they have expanded the traditional norms of masculinity, mm-hmm. even if it's just a list of some traits.
Yeah. Well, I would say the first thing that comes to mind is warm-heartedness. So sort of a loving quality, almost that fatherly quality, right? The nurturing, loving, and also compassionate quality of masculinity is beautiful, is really beautiful and powerful. This sort of the protective nature of the masculine, the, you know, all fundamentally the energy of the, of wanting to provide and to protect is beautiful. It comes from a recognition that there is power in a man and there is a resource in a man to take care of more than just himself and to cultivate more than just his own life and to protect life. And I think that's really, so that sort of protective, compassionate, warm-hearted quality, I think is really at the top for me. I would say integrity. Integrity is a beautiful masculine quality, which means sort of a congruence between what a man thinks, what a man says, and what a man does, right? So it's sort of an honorable quality of sorts, that kind of determination and self-discipline to really be true to oneself and to one's word and to one's actions. So to see that congruency through. Is that enough or you want more?
That is plenty.
Okay.
I think that is plenty of takeaways for all of us Guy Gabbers. So Guy Gabbers, can we...
Wait. Remember, we had this one car that we parked in the name of congruency. I want to just quickly touch on that. I know we have a time limit. Remember, we talked about healthy, sustainable relationships. And I said, I really want to touch on the fact that, you know, the dating app culture, which is this quick fix, this kind of consumer attitude to love and to relationships and sexuality, actually, like you said, statistics prove that that doesn't actually lead to long-term relationships. However, statistics do prove that more, let's say, relationships that emerge out of friendships and relationships that emerge out of, let's say, colleague kind of co-worker situations, or emerge from, you know, we know each other at the gym for many years, or we were together at some point, then we broke up and then we got together again a year later. So it's that, you know, having a basis, almost like a friendship at the base, a foundation that has been cultivated through time, through maybe even some measure of friction, through gradually getting to know each other from different angles, through losing each other and gaining each other, to then gradually building trust, to gradually seeing that we are continuing to choose each other despite the variety of other options we have. So that slow cooking that I referred to earlier, that gradual buildup of a foundation, which is in essence like a friendship, has been proven to actually lead to more sustainable long-term romantic or loving relationships, you know?
It makes a lot of sense. So what you're saying is, you know, just an example, like two people who met at a meditation class and then have stayed in touch and have done two podcast episodes together.
See, you're bringing it all back to one thing.
My jokes never get better. No, I...
Attempts. Hey, there's nothing wrong with trying. You're being polite. It's fine. Plus, you know, you're in a computer right now, so you can't even, you know.
We're just trying here. I appreciate you bringing us back to that topic of that culture. One, I would love, if you're open to it, I would love for you to come back to Guy Gab for another episode in the future. We'll give you a little break. But we'd love to have you come back and have a conversation about this, for lack of a better word, this app culture, swiping culture, an entire episode on that. Would you be open to coming back?
Yeah, except, you know, if you want me to be there, I just have to confess I have never opened a dating app in my life. So I may have to just do some research, but I would love to do it. Yeah, for sure.
It would focus on the flip side, which is what you just went over, of how you can build a really authentic relationship with people through common interests and common experiences.
Common experiences, common interests, you nailed it. It's exactly that. And a gradual, slow, steady buildup of trust. Right? So these are essential ingredients to be able to sustain a relationship, which don't have the time to flourish when we just rush into, something quick on the basis of judging someone on their, based on their appearance and their status, for example. Yeah. So yes, is the answer. I would gladly, very much be honored to come back.
I'm going to make a commitment right here and now. As I mentioned, I am dating and looking for a long-term partner. Based on your advice, I am going to pause on using an app to try to find the long-term partner. And I'm going to take this advice and I'll let all the Guy Gabbers know if I'm in a position of creating an authentic connection based on common experiences.
Beautiful. I really respect that. And I wish you wholeheartedly that you reach your highest goal and aspiration, Jonathan.
Thank you. Anahita, as we close out, I know you have to go. I want to thank you for your time today. I know the Guy Gabbers are going to, I know everyone out there is going to love this episode. I'm looking forward, everyone, to your questions that come my way based on what you're hearing now. I want to end with just a word that you've used a couple of times, warm-hearted. That's another commitment that I'm going to make, is to, in tough situations, think to myself, how can I be warm-hearted right now? Mm-hmm. And I just want to end by saying, and I am getting a little verklempt right now, I'm very honest. Everyone, when I first met Anahita, it was in a meditation class that she was teaching. And I just thought, she is the manifestation of
warmheartedness. And she didn't know me from a hole in the wall, and she was very kind to me, and she always has been. And I'm going to try to, in some small way, be that way in a similar way and be warmhearted to others. So thank you very much for being here on Guy Gab, and we'll try to reach that aspiration of being, as men, warmhearted and to act with integrity in dating.
Wow, you just brought tears to my eyes. Thank you so much. I'm so touched and honored, and you're a remarkable human being. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you. We're looking forward to having you back.
Me too. Okay, all the best.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening and for not judging my 20-something-year-old self. I hope everyone goes into Valentine's Day with clear intentions for dating and the patience to become friends with someone before a relationship is on the radar. If you like this episode, please either tell the woman that I met in Central Park 15 years ago that I am more mature now, or rate and review this podcast. One of the two. Looking forward to gabbing next week.